8816. Immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now it's time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by
Hawthorne Race Course and the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering App. I actually was on the app on Saturday. Masters was under a rain suspension. Locked in on the Santa Anita Derby. The Wood had a good time playing horses all weekend. And they're PointsBet Sportsbook partner for sports. We say good morning to Shay Norland.
Buddy, what am I going to say?
You're going to say good morning, guys. That's the first thing you should say.
He was on the app, locked into the Wood.
Yeah, I heard that, yes.
Good morning, boys. How we doing? Kaplan, Hoodie.
All good, man.
That's the first thing, yes.
All good.
All right, well, let's see what we have for Shot or No Shot here for our Monday morning.
Well, I'll get started with the Bears because Tevin Jenkins went out on Twitter and confirmed, well, all but confirmed, that the Bears will be moving him to left guard after the acquisition of Nate Davis. He started, this guy's going to play three positions in 3 years, starts at right tackle, moves to right guard, has a resurgent year. Now they're going to move him to left guard so Nate Davis can play the right side, suggesting the offensive line left to right will look something like Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Cody Whitehair, Nate Davis, and a draft pick. Shot or no shot, with the right draft pick, this could be the most improved unit for the Bears.
That is a shot.
With the right draft pick, yes. Yes. Now, if you're telling me that all their offensive line picks are coming in rounds 4, 5, 6, 7, no. If you tell me whoever it is, this kid Darnell Wright from Tennessee just visited the Bears, mm-hmm. and he handled Will Anderson very effectively from Alabama, or it's Paris Johnson or Broderick Jones from Georgia, yeah, it has a chance to be a vastly improved unit.
You didn't have Whitehair in that spot, did you?
Center. That's the suggestion. Sure. That's another shot or no shot for you. Cody Whitehair is a serviceable center for the Bears.
Two different regimes have tried him and said he can't do it. Now we're going to do it again?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. You had Jenkins, by the way, on the left side in your scenario, right?
Well, he went on Twitter yesterday.
He confirmed and said that's what he's going to do.
He's going to play left guard. They're going to put the two best run blockers on the team on the left side of the line, Braxton Jones and Tevin Jenkins.
Okay. Tevin Jenkins is the best offensive lineman that the Bears have.
Talent-wise.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully you can get younger and better in that spot and healthier. Nate Davis, to me, seems like a temporary fix.
I mean, they paid him a lot of money.
I understand.
I think he's, what did he get, a 3-year deal?
Yeah.
He's going to be around for a while.
I hope that he can be more than just a serviceable anchor. Why is he leaving? Like, because I thought he's going to be a Titan for a while here. What happened there?
I think they've got some cap issues. And they've got to figure out what they're doing with Derrick Henry going forward.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk he could be on the block at draft time. We'll see.
I mean, they don't have a quarterback. They had a disappointing season. They're probably in a little bit of rebuild mode.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I just want this offensive line solidified to give Justin enough time to be able to throw. Because this cannot be the Justin Fields show again next year. Can't be. It's got to get better. Shay.
All right, Hoodie, it's time to talk about your White Sox. They had that easy weekend matchup against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they cruised. They got one win in the three games. It was a mixed bag for the White Sox. They lost a track meet 13-9 on Friday, won a blowout 11-5 on Saturday, and then lost a pitching duel yesterday, 1-0 on Sunday. The bright side there, Michael Kopech, after getting tagged a bunch by the Giants, looked okay yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
1-0 loss for the White Sox. Only 10 games, but so far, the Sox are having a hard time finding consistency anywhere other than Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada. Shot or no shot, the Sox optimism of the opening series is gone.
Well, hold on, don't forget Luis Robert's third in the major leagues in OPS.
Had the day off yesterday.
Correct.
I have an MVP ticket on Lou Bob.
That's a very astute bet by you. I gotta see Kopech do it. You know, 6 out of 8 starts, 1 start against the Pirates. Now the Pirates are off to a 6-3 start here. losing O'Neal Cruz for potentially the season to a broken leg yesterday on the play at the plate.
Yeah, maybe O'Neal Cruz needs to learn how to slide.
That was a terrible slide.
Well, I mean, you know, Pirates fans are blaming Zavala. It's not his fault. O'Neal was in between. He didn't know whether or not he should slide or just run in there or try to run over Zavala. That's not on the catcher.
Correct. And then what they were upset is before Zavala realized he was seriously injured, apparently he, like, what are you doing? And dropped the B word on him.
Yep.
And then Carlos Santana snapped and the bench is emptied.
Mm-hmm.
So
the B word meaning he's bad. Is that the word?
B.
He called him a bitch. Is that what you said? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Is that right?
Well, that's what apparently that's what Cap is reporting. This is what happened. Daniel Greenberg.
I'm not reporting it.
Cap is reporting.
No.
That the Pirates broadcast picked up Zavala calling out O'Neal and calling him a bitch. I beg your pardon.
sorry.
That's what Cap is reporting.
And then he turned away when he realized, oh, God. I think he.
Yeah, man.
He broke his leg.
Yeah. Okay, well, you don't. You got to learn how to slide, kid.
Agreed. I did not think Zavala did anything wrong.
And by the way, when you're 4-6 in the first 10 games, it has been absolutely, it's been brutal with some of the starting pitching that we've seen. Brutal. Lucas Giolito, nothing like a nice 4 innings, 12 hits, 7 runs surrendered.
He was horrible. He was, so last year he was too fat. This year, what is he, too skinny?
Yeah. Yeah. Another team will be just right.
He might need a fresh start.
Cap, what did I tell you?
You did.
What did I tell you?
You did.
Change some of these popular guys out of here. I'm telling you. I'm not saying that this is who he's going to be for the rest of the season, but the start's not good.
I do like your infield, though. Vaughn is where he belongs. He had another hit yesterday. Yeah. He's just a good, solid player. Andrus, very solid at second.
Sure.
Tim Anderson, stud. And Moncada's off to a good start.
Yeah.
Can he stay healthy? I don't know.
It leans no.
Right.
That's a problem. Sebi Zavala on the whole O'Neal Cruz thing.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of a baseball play, and I wasn't too happy about how late the slide was, but I was just talking to Santana about it, and he said something I didn't like, or he didn't like what I said. He said something I didn't like, and that's what happened. Yeah. I think in a couple of days, everybody will forget about it.
Unfortunate that he got, you heard what happened, fractured his ankle.
No, what happened?
Yeah, fracture. It was an ankle fracture.
It's just a baseball play. Didn't want anybody to get hurt. Didn't want it to escalate that far. It escalated, and can't really do anything about it.
What do you think the stomach drop moment is like there? Call a guy a bitch, turn around, and his leg's in 3 spots.
It's the White Sox, man. We don't care.
That's just unfortunate is what it is.
It's the White Sox, because we're playing with Edge. We're breaking legs and losing games. That's who we are. We're the White Sox. Stop.
I just thought it was an awful slide by O'Neal Cruz, who's a highly competitive and exciting young player for the Pirates, 30-30 potential.
Mm-hmm.
And now he may be done for the year, which is sad. But come on, man.
He was in between. He should have slid or did something. He didn't know what to do in that spot.
Zavala could have had his knee taken out.
That's correct.
And so he turns and goes, what are you doing, bitch? And all of a sudden, oh, God, I think that guy might have just broke his leg.
But see,
turned
that's,
away.
Like
and Carlos Santana went off.
The fair foul, I'm all for smack talk. Calling a guy a bitch, maybe you cross the line a
Careful.
Little bit, but I think it's okay. It's the stomach drop moment of, oh, his leg's in 4 different places now.
We're the Sox. We don't care about that. Move the drill. Next.
Next.
Seriously. We're 4-6. We don't care. Shay, guy's leg's broken. Next.
Talk to the trader.
Next.
Ditka.
Bring in somebody else. Nah, it's disappointing. But again, it's the first 10 games, but I'm holding them accountable, Cap.
White Sox 4-6, 2.5 back in the division, and they get the Twins today, who are 6-3. Are you nervous?
All the time.
He hates the Twins.
All the time.
Cubs 4-4. In their division.
We can say what we said at the beginning of the season, like the Twins may not be as good this year as they were last, but still, it's Sox Twins. You know I'm ready for it.
At least you don't have the Rays. They're 9-0.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Shake.
All right, two more, boys, quickly. The Dallas Mavericks did the thing the Bulls refused to do. They tanked their way out of the play-in tournament to guarantee better odds in the draft lottery. This, a Dallas team that traded for Kyrie Irving, basically went all in and then tanked their way out of the play-in so that they could get a better draft pick. Shot or no shot? The Bulls should have done this.
I got to stay consistent. Yes. I would rather have... They're not going to win a championship. I don't think they're going to make a deep playoff run. Do you?
They will not.
Okay. They have to win at Toronto.
That's a win.
On Wednesday. You think they win,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Then they got to go from there and play the next day, I think, somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then get into a 7-game series with... Who, Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, yeah.
So,
gentlemen sweep. So long, everybody.
So long. You called that last year, gentlemen sweep.
That's what it is.
And it was 5 games. It's exactly what you said. We'll give you one. You can have that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now get out of here.
Yeah.
And that was after Chris Middleton tore his knee up.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather have had a better percentage chance of keeping our pick. Instead, it's going to go to Orlando most probably.
Orlando's won all the deals with involving the Bulls. They've taken care of, I mean, that's the Bulls there. That's what Orlando's building, a young team that's well-coached. But the whole point, though, is no, that's a no shot for me. The Dallas Mavericks is just, that is an abuse of power by that organization.
They're going to get a big fine and a draft pick taken, probably.
Well, I mean, because it's bad business. You bring in a malcontent like Kyrie Irving, and because they didn't win quick enough, we're going to unplug this thing. Well, if I'm a Mavericks season ticket holder this morning, I'm like, yeah, no thanks, Cuban. I don't need to see this. You're not going to win the championship anyway. It's not like Rolando Blackman's getting through that door.
Right.
So just screw it. Seriously. Like, why would I go back there? So you unplug the chances of getting to the playoffs, adding Kyrie Irving, a mercenary, bringing him in, and then you say, nah, this is not working. We're gonna tank out of the playoffs. Oh, really? Because a draft pick is going to be the difference between the Mavericks beating Denver or Golden State, or Sacramento in the playoffs, right? Just a draft pick. Stop. You better hope if you're a Mavericks fan that Doncic sticks around. You better hope.
I agree.
Otherwise, it's a waste, Shea.
Yesterday, Hoodie, was not only Masters Sunday, it was also HBO Sunday, which has been the best day of the week for this entire calendar year. Last night, Succession had its third episode of its final season yesterday. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it is already being hailed as one of the show's best hours, if not one of the best hours ever of television. Immediately after it ended, it was one of those moments I was firing off texts to multiple people in my phone who had watched it just to talk about it. I just had to talk to people about what I'd seen, and it proved something to me. Week by week viewing will never be beaten. Shot or no shot, week by week is way better than binging.
Would you say?
I would say that's a shot. I enjoy week by week. I'm just not a big TV watcher. Like, I'm not locked in on Succession. Zero interest. So
why is zero interest? Because
I watch sports.
And
my wife doesn't watch shows with me. She has less than zero interest in any show. We're not that couple that goes, we have our shows together. No.
No, it can't be less than zero. You don't know anything about the show.
I saw some of the first year of it. I didn't find it that compelling, so I jumped off.
It's about our business. I don't know why you wouldn't like it. It's exactly about our business. The underbelly of our business. And that's why I watch, is because you get someone at the top of the food chain that thinks that we're going to invest in these newspapers and these cable channels. It's like, old timer, that's not going to get it done. It's just a cutthroat family. I'm just one episode behind. It's fantastic. Fantastic writing.
Aren't you a Billions guy, Cap?
I do like Billions, but I haven't watched... I didn't even finish last season.
See, but Billions, I've seen a few episodes of Billions. It's not very good to me. Succession is like the better version of that show. I think you would really enjoy it if you gave it a chance.
I just don't have the time or the inclination to do it. I don't. Every night there's a game on. I'm not that guy that's going to sit down and spend my Sunday night watching Succession. I just... Zero interest.
Because I grew up on episodic television, week-by-week television, that's never left me. If there's a show that I'm locked into, I'm going to watch it week by week. Oh, it's this Sunday. I'll wait until next Sunday. I mean, unless I'm so far behind, it's very possible there's some shows I'm behind, then I will binge. But if it's on time, I'll watch week by week, episodically, the buildup. Because that's what I grew up on. That's how you and I grew up on, watching television.
Correct. We didn't have DVRs back then.
No, so you just watch it week by week. So I've always been a traditionalist that way when it comes to TV.
I've also found if it's really compelling to me, if I'm really entertained by something, I'm going to be there every week. And if I need to catch up, it's usually not because I don't have time. It's because I'm just not that interested. Mm-hmm. And I'll binge something I'm not that interested in. But if it's really got me by the hook, like Succession, I'm watching appointment television. 8 o'clock every Sunday night, I'm watching.
I'll go as far as to say I'm so fanatic about that, that if it's on Hulu or if it's on Amazon where it's the whole season's there, like I still will wait a week.
So does your wife watch the show with you, Shay?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I was gone for like 3 days doing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my wife, what'd you watch while I was gone? She said, I never turned the TV on in 3 days. Never turned it on.
God.
Damn.
That's amazing. And it's amazing she continues to work by candlelight, too. Doesn't even turn, there's lights on. She didn't even turn them on.
Alexa did.
She's got the candlelight, though.
Hey, Alexa, turn on kitchen lights. Bam.
Yes. Yes. Still working by just candlelight, though. 312-332. Even at work, it's romantic? Really? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Our phone number still to come. Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and Sox and everything else, Major League Baseball at 835. Around the NFL next on Cap and J-Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he falls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the National Football League here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We have Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and Sox coming your way at 8:35.
Got big news in the Cub world, man. We'll get to it.
Hey, buddy.
But first, here's Shay Norling around the NFL. Shay?
Yeah, kind of an obvious place to start here today, Hoodie. Odell Beckham Jr. In agreement with the Ravens on a one-year contract that is said to include $15 million, capital G, guaranteed. 1 year, $15 million, guaranteed, worth up to $18 million with incentives.
All right, so what does this mean? Let's do the breadcrumbs. If Odell Beckham Jr. goes to the Ravens, this means
Lamar's got to be staying, right?
Well, he ain't coming in there for Tyler Huntley or Anthony Brown.
Right.
At least that's what I think.
Unless they've got a trade worked out to go get somebody in the draft, but they're not giving Odell to a rookie QB.
No. I know he wants to get back in the NFL.
Unless it was money. What if no one else was at that level financially for him?
Well, that was my question to you. Do you think he had other suitors besides Baltimore?
Well, he met with the Jets. They didn't have the salary flexibility to be able to get him and Aaron.
So what's that look like, Shay? Is that Duvernay? And who else is on there, that wide receiver? Wallace?
Yeah, we'll have to see how it shakes out. What it means is they have an actual receiver, which has been the complaint, assuming Odell is alive. Last I heard, wasn't it like the Cowboys took one look at his x-rays and said no thank you?
Well, yeah, no. What I was asking is that where would he be on the pecking order of wide receivers? Mark Andrews is a solid tight end. I'm just wondering, like, where would he be on the depth chart? Is that a go-to guy, number one guy for them now?
If he's good, I would assume, yeah.
That's brutal.
The rest of the options there aren't great. They need a lot of help in the receiver room. So this is a lot of money to spend. And by the way, the Ravens Twitter account did post a screenshot of Odell Beckham on FaceTime with Lamar Jackson. That was from the official Ravens Twitter account.
Wow. Okay.
Like, if they tag him, they have tagged him. I'm saying if he signs the tag, He gets $32 million, and there's talk he would hold up. He's going to leave that much money on the table.
Brother, can I just tell you something? If Odell Beckham Jr. is one of your go-to guys on this Ravens wide receiver depth chart, then you have a problem. I'm just telling you, like, I mean, this is not the guy that we saw even 5 or 6 years ago. It's Odell Beckham Jr., you know, clinging to a one-year deal. If that's the best you have at wide receiver, I don't care if Lamar Jackson comes back or not. That's a problem.
All right, so updated depth chart. Odell would be the presumptive wide receiver one. They also have Rashad Bateman, who's a good player, and Nelson Agholor, whose most famous moment is that Philly fan saying the fireman caught the baby being thrown out of a window, whereas Agholor would have dropped the baby.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. I remember that story, yes. So Rashad Bateman, Odell Beckham Jr., Agholor, okay. Duvernay, Mark Andrews as a tight end. Okay. I'm just saying, like, hope you're not trying to depend on him to give you, like, 2,000 yards, because he's up in age. This is just kind of a roll-of-the-dice one-year deal with Beckham. We'll see.
And news this morning also, no momentum for Lamar Jackson getting a deal done with the Ravens. Maybe he's just friends with Odell. I think at the end of the day, no matter what, you're not going to convince this guy to play for your team by paying other people. You're going to have to pay him.
You're a mentor. What would you tell Lamar Jackson one-on-one? What advice would you give him?
Let's go hire. If I was like his best friend and he called me and said, dude, let's have breakfast. I got to talk to you. How would you handle this thing? I'm kind of in a tough spot here.
Yeah.
I need to secure the bag for my family, for me. I want to stay in Baltimore, but I feel like they're disrespecting me. We are going to hire Mark Bartlestein, Tom Condon, Drew Rosenhaus, like one of the greats.
What about 84727? What about him?
We could call Steve.
Steve Mandel.
Steve Mandel.
Okay.
He doesn't do football, but he could.
He does stars, though.
He does.
He'd find a way.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
So I would say we're going to hire one of these guys, and we're going to let them clean slate, call up John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta, the GM. Let's get something done here.
Uh-huh.
Okay? He wants to stay. I'm going to handle everything now. If he says, no, I'm doing it myself, dude, you got issues then.
I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
No.
I can't sit across a table and have an employer tell me how much I suck.
I don't know if they say you suck. They're just telling you why they can't pay you that. And you're not, this isn't a shot at you or Lamar or me. You're not astute enough in the workings of how the contracts are to understand that's bull.
You know, you got that right. I just couldn't do it.
Like, that's what, like Steve Mandel.
Yeah.
He goes, okay, I get that. Then we're going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way we can make this work for both sides. They find a way to compromise.
Unlike you and I are turning the table over saying, that's BS.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, and walking out.
Can't do it.
Yeah, now you got someone that will negotiate on your behalf.
I'm going to play golf. Call me. Let me know if it's over.
Seriously?
Yeah, totally agree.
All right, Shay.
All right, boys. Hoodie, I was back home this weekend. I was walking around downtown Detroit.
Yes.
We know this is the site of the 2024 NFL Draft. April 25th will be the first day in 2024. Now, I walked around, and what I didn't know is where they're going to hold the draft. Outside. It's going to be in the heart of downtown Detroit, Campus Martius Park and Hart Plaza. Outdoors in April in Detroit for the NFL draft.
That's a bad idea.
That is a bad idea.
Fox Theater sold out. We got an event going on that day.
I guess it's not big enough. Like they'll get thousands of people down there for the draft outdoors. They got to have some types of contingency plans in place. They can't do this.
Roger, what's up, baby? Hey, man, I got these loose squares. You got what? Got these loose squares right here, man.
Cut that light out over there. Let me show you.
Let me show you something, man. Oh, you don't smoke? How about these watches? What's up, man? Look, man, I got these watches up in here. What's up? This one here is from Judge Mathis. I stole it from him. Wait a minute. This one's from Jalen Rose.
The Bears draft party here that we're going to be intimately involved with at the radio station, I think is like going to be packed.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Outside.
Yes.
That's a tough one. That's a tough. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get as many people in there as possible, but I think a auditorium or theater would be best.
Ford Field is indoor. Put it at Ford Field. You'll get 75,000 people down there. Fill the building. Get floor seating. You can probably pump the number up to 100.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Remember, we had it right there at Chicago Theater.
Yeah. Much better.
You got to find a way to get Shea on the committee.
Yes.
And Shea, you needed to consult Detroit about this.
And, of course, we'll be broadcasting live from there next year from Detroit.
Do it
probably
from my
backyard. Right. When the Bears are picking number one overall again. Hopefully with Carolina's pick.
It's a nice, easy drive. Absolutely. Wow, I'm surprised. I'm glad you... I think you might be the first to report that. Shay, I think you're first to report that since you were walking around. Did they have the bunting and the signage up already for
it? It was just like a big statue said NFL Draft 2024. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Let's see where it is. And I figured it was, I said it was going to be told by dad. Probably Fox Theater, Ford Field, maybe. Yeah. Nope, outside, Hart Plaza campus. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Now, I'll tell you, they do outdoor events there and they're fabulous.
Yeah.
But they typically happen in June or July. Late April, a bit early to be doing outdoor events in Detroit.
Cap, I told you, I have family in Detroit. But they never know when I'm in town. Don't tell them.
Oh, Hood, what's up, man? Heard things going well in the morning show. So good. Hey, man, can I hold 100?
No. I have no money. I'm like you with a fine system. No, I don't have any money.
Nothing.
Yeah, so they don't know when I'm coming in. I heard you were in town. I was just in and out. So long, everybody. Sorry, can't give you a can't wire you 100 to Kellogg, Michigan, or Benton Harbor.
Not happening.
Jesse Rogers will join us talking about the Cubs and Sox. That's next. Cap and Jay Hood weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. As heard right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The White Sox, they lose to the Pirates by a score of 1-0. The Sox are 4-6 in their first 10 games. Sox and Twins, 12:30 pregame, 1:10 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox ESPN 1000. Cubs lose to the Rangers 8-2 at Wrigley. The Cubs will take on Seattle. That'll be at 6:40 at the friendly confines. The bowl season is over, regular season, but they're in the play-in tournament. They defeated the Pistons yesterday by a score of 103-81. Also, Odell Beckham Jr. is now a Baltimore Raven. John Rahm wins the Masters. Jay Moore.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Catman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Jay Hood. Weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Time to talk baseball with Jesse Rogers. And Jesse and his report is brought to you by the fine folks over at...
That would be Power Equipment Direct. Power Equipment Direct brings you the little guy. Hi, Jesse.
Good morning, boys. What's happening? How are we doing?
Jesse is also on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
There's optimism to my right and pessimism right here talking to you right now with a 4-6 start on the south side. That won't get it done with that starting pitching, Jesse. Won't get it done.
Yeah, it's not exactly the 9-0 Rays, right? Now, Kopech was better. If you asked me the best takeaway of the weekend, it may have been him because they need him, right? They need that electric arm, and his fastball was better. It's still around 95, but it's about what you do with it. Does it have a little zip at the end? You know, some people want him to be pitching at 97, which he did a few years ago. But every 5 days, if you're at 95 averaging, that's not so bad. You can live at 95 as long as you're doing something with it, moving it, changing the visuals of it, you know, upstairs, downstairs, all that stuff, and having a little zip on it. He had that yesterday. So, they've had three bad starts, terrible starts out of 9 games, right? 10 games, 3 out of 10. But other than that, they played okay baseball. They were 13 for 13 in stolen bases, Jay Hood. They finally got the good start out of Kopech. So I don't know if you could toss away three, but if you do, it's not as bad for the White Sox. But yeah, they're under 500, and it's not the best of starts.
And yet, Luis Robert is third in the major leagues in OPS. Moncada looks better. I have to see him stay healthy. Andrew Vaughn looks like he's a solid addition at first base. The middle infield, very good. Tim Anderson and Elvis Andrus. And again, this bullpen that they spent a lot of money constructing. Joe Kelly, now Jose Ruiz, he pitches for Arizona after he got DFA. How are they fixing this pen?
Probably with Liam Hendricks, Jay, Cap. I mean, until the July trade deadline, there's not a lot you can do. Liam is probably due back within a month or so. That's great news for a lot of reasons, as we know, but it moves everybody down a notch. Think of, let's just say Liam can come back and be Liam. Now Ronaldo Lopez in that live arm is part of the setup crew with Joe Kelly, with Kendall Graveman. Makes a big difference. I don't love their lefties. Some people love Aaron Bummer better than others. I'm okay on him, but you can survive with those guys if Liam returns as Liam. It sucks you got to rely on a guy that had cancer to be sort of your savior, but it just moves everybody down that notch. And frankly, they had planned for it most of the offseason until this hit, so it's hard to blame Rick Hahn, but they didn't do a lot after the news about Liam. So that's the only answer I could come up with. Either they get better internally or wait for Liam to come back and everybody moves down a notch.
Before we ask you about the Cubs, we're going to get your thoughts about the O'Neill Cruz play at home plate, the collision he had with Zebby Zavala. What did you think of that play?
Yeah, I've been watching it like the Zapruder film, and I have a call into the league just to see if there's any fines, or I doubt there'll be any suspensions. I hate to pile on the guy, but you guys, I'm sure, have said this or know that that is not a professional slide. That was a terrible, terrible slide. So the fact that the bench is cleared due to that slide, I understand why Zebby Zavala. If you watch it again, look at Zavala. He gets twisted as he goes down. He could have been injured as well. You're taught how to slide in Little League. And I was actually thinking about this because I always like watching early in spring training when they run Little League drills just like a 10-year-old team would. They do this at the major league level. But what I don't see is a lot of sliding drills, to be honest. I'm not sure that I see many of those in spring training, and maybe it does need to be reminded because that was a terrible slide. It was late. It was awkward. It injured himself, and it could have injured the catcher as well.
Jesse, you know those moments where you come in the house, kids aren't around, your wife has something sexy on. She says, we're going upstairs. And you go, oh, baby, what a day.
Oh, baby, long gone.
That's right. I feel the same exact way when I picked up the Bob Nightingale column this morning. Did you read it?
I did not read Bob this morning. I usually do, but I hadn't had the chance.
Let me read something to you. Will Shohei Ohtani stay in Southern California? Could he be moving further up the coast to San Francisco or Seattle? It's no secret the Dodgers are saving money to sign him as a free agent. Padres have shown no hesitancy spending with the big boys. Larry Bear, Giants president, had fans chanting his name before their home opener. And speculation grew, and Ohtani sprinted towards Ichiro in Seattle to express his admiration. Mets, Yankees, Phillies, heavy hitters if Ohtani changes his mind. Yet the sleeper in the whole frenzy, several baseball executives predict, the Chicago Cubs. That's the team no one talks about, one AL executive said. I'm telling you, that's the team to watch out for. I can easily see him going there. We'll see what happens, but that's my call. Jesse, I need a cigarette. Holy bleep.
Yeah, I haven't done too much reporting on that. My feeling is that...
Get on it.
No, yeah, I will. But my feeling is that going to pick a sleeper, the Cubs fit the profile. So I wonder how that was put to these executives. Like, you know what I mean? Like, none of those West Coast teams are sleepers. The Pirates aren't going to be making a call. I mean, there's no doubt the Cubs are going to make the call, right? There's no doubt. And if you're going to choose a sleeper, I would choose them as well. But I wouldn't choose them as the favorite. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I wouldn't pick them as a favorite. So if you like them as a sleeper, as the underdog, at least they have a chance. I would agree with that. But I just... I got a bad feeling about it, Cap. And there's a bunch of reasons, whether it be Ohtani reasons or the idea that Ricketts would actually pull the trigger. I still have my doubts. compared to the other owners that are mentioned in all the conversations about Ohtani. He has not proven to be the Steve Cohn, Peter Seidler type. He just hasn't. So that's why you would consider them a sleeper.
That's a fine. Ohtani.
It's not Ohtani.
I said Ohtani.
Who's Ohtani?
Ohtani doesn't manage here anymore.
Ohtani is Kukoc.
I don't think so. I think that's... I think that's Ohtani. I think that's Tony La Russa, I believe.
Ohtani.
Okay. Sorry about that. More with Jesse, we need your top four teams that Ohtani will go to. Top four teams. We'll get to that next on Cap and J-Hood.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and J-Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Jesse Rogers is with us as we talk baseball with Jess. All right, Jess, do you have the short list for Ohtani? Where is Ohtani going next year?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of obvious, but Dodgers are one.
It's actually done, Jesse. Stop.
It's the Cubs. Dodgers, Padres, Mariners, Giants, Angels, Cubs. I'd put maybe at six. That's where I would do it.
Mariners. Well, hold on a
Mariners
second.
Mariners are in the mix, yeah.
How?
Well, they've got a lot of money. They have a lot of a fan base, a Japanese fan base that's pretty big. They have a good team, and that's the last thing I want to stress here. The one thing I know about Ohtani, and I haven't done a lot of reporting on this, is in talking to people, what he went through at the WBC, he loved. Why wouldn't he, right? Mm-hmm. He has not experienced that with the Angels. He's going to get paid generational money. I mean, several generations, right? Winning will be an important part of his thing. So when the Cubs play there this June, unfortunately they don't play in Chicago. We could really roll out the red carpet for them. They play there in June. I hope the Cubs are doing well, because I absolutely think winning is going to be at the top. We know the Dodgers are, you know, there. The Padres are there. The Mariners have a really good team. That's why I bring those teams up, as well as the fact that they can spend a lot. So I'm not saying no to the Cubs, Cap. I'm not. But I think they are the underdogs for sure.
Did you say Yankees too in that spot?
I didn't even bring up the Yankees. I have no idea his connection to, you know, to New York or the Yankees or what he feels about them. But all these teams are going to make the call. All these teams are going to make the phone call. It's a matter of who's going to spend the most and where he wants to go, because he's going to get the choice.
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to this question. Is he about the last dollar? That if Tom, I'm not saying they will, but if Tom Ricketts greenlights a $500 million 10-year contract, and Steve Cohen goes, hang on a second, there's $550 million. Top that. Take that. Does Ohtani go, no, $500 is enough. I want to be in Chicago? Or, all right, I'm holding at $550. Tom, your call. You at $560? Like, I don't know the answer to that question. All I know is from what I hear, if they had the DH then, they didn't. He would have signed with the Cubs. That's what Theo believes.
Yeah, I would say that money, he would leave a few dollars to go to the place that he wants. Like, when we get to the $500 million range, even the Players Association is going to be like, do what you want, you know, as long as within...
Just reset the market.
Yeah, within... Right, he's going to reset it no matter what. So, Cap, I'm not saying no. I do feel like those West Coast teams, for obvious reasons, have a leg up. But I think winning now is more important than even it was back then. Because the Angels haven't won since he got there. And then this case that he just had at the WBC, I think he wants that with a team. And it's not like the Cubs in a year are probably going to be much closer to winning. So I think they're going to make the call, but so are all the other rich teams.
Say is Suzuki. I know he invited him to play here. So that's
all right. Enough.
That's one thing. And I mean, is he coming back?
Yu Darvish is in San Diego. I mean, who knows how that recruitment's going to go. Say I had a good day yesterday. Yeah, I think he's due back pretty soon, Cap. Yeah,
sounds like this week, right?
Yeah, they need him because Trey Mancini in right field didn't work out yesterday.
Yeah, and Mastro whatever is not the answer either.
Masturbating.
Mastro whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, it should be very soon. You know, it just depends on how he reacts the day after. But the fact that he's playing games means he's days away from returning. Maybe it's a few more than just a couple days, but that will round out the lineup and certainly round out them on defense. It's been a decent start back and forth. Again, I think they need to take advantage of some of these warm weather teams coming to town, even though It's going to be a warm week. I think it's going to go back to some cool temps next week. And we'll see, because the Padres and Dodgers come in here. They play the Dodgers 10 times this month. So you end this month in 500 or better record, you're in a pretty good shape. You're in pretty good shape.
What was interesting to you over the baseball weekend, Jesse? What stood out?
Well, I mean, the Rays going 9-0 for sure against crap opponents. That doesn't matter, though. We know bad teams can beat good teams, especially early in the season when teams are trying to find their way. I mean, what an organization. They won all 9 games by 4 or more runs. Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. So anybody that thinks it's all about money, it's not. It's about development. It's about acquisition. It's about drafting, and the Rays do it about as well as anyone. The other thing is Jameson Taillon is getting hit a little bit. Now, he struck out 7 yesterday, but, you know, his – batting average on balls in play over 400. He needs to miss some bats a little bit more. Maybe there's some bad luck. That number is going to come down. But 2 starts, not very great by Taillon. Yesterday was better than the first one. But here's a free agent signee off to a bad start. You know, on the opposite end, Stroman was amazing on Friday.
Yeah, well, can you get Nick Madrigal out of third base, please?
I can't. They're going to rotate him in and out for now, Cap. That's what they're doing. Because there's no other position for him.
Oh, you got a problem with Madrigal?
He can't play the position.
You could have ended that sentence earlier. He can't play.
He can hit it.
Stop.
He can make the routine play, but anything beyond that is a little bit problematic.
Whoa, they hit one right at him. He dove, missed the guy at third, got up and threw it into the lake.
Thanks, Cubs. Yes,
he did.
What'd you get? You got nothing.
No, we gained some with him off the ball club. I told you he's a 4A ball player, but, you know, you won't listen. That's fine.
He can hit.
A little bit.
It's a rough assessment for a first-round pick, 4A, but you might be right.
Fourth overall.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen him play, Jess.
He hasn't stayed healthy enough. Uh-huh. Now he doesn't have a position. So it is a little bit goofy that he's playing third as much as he will be until further notice.
Jesse, as always, we appreciate it.
All right. Cubs and Mariners tonight. Tommy LaStella's back in town, Cap. I'll see you over there.
Well, boy, late night for you.
That's right.
The odd 6:40 start, huh, Jess?
They do that in April now. They do that in April for the kids.
Jess, roll over and hand him the phone. Let us say hi.
I knew you were going to say that. What time are you picking him up at the hotel, I thought was your next line.
Jesse Rogers is brought to you by...
I'll be out till 3 a.m.
Would you get out of here?
See ya.
He's still on the line.
Power Equipment Direct. On the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom. Don't really call the CarX man.
Go ahead.
Jesse playing the role of Snake Charmer tonight.
Well, someone has to.
How about that? Rays are 9-0 with a run differential of plus 57. There's no one even half the way there.
Now they played the lousy Tigers, Nationals, and A's. I'm going to get Boston for 4 at home.
Shout out to Dan in New Lenox. He won our Golf Center Displays Masters giveaway, courtesy of John Rahm. So congratulations to him. Coming up, what will the Bears do with that number 9 pick? Will they trade it or stand pat at 9? Cap and I discuss in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.